This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Today was a good day. If you love college basketball, or even if you don't, but you enjoy having a compelling sporting event that stretches 12 hours. It's like the Super Bowl on steroids. It just keeps going and going and going and going and going, and it's awesome all day long. I'll admit I was pretty bleary-eyed when I'd had just a few hours of sleep and the alarm went off and I had to get up and start watching basketball. For the first couple of hours, all I could think about was I need more coffee and I'm too tired to tweet. However, it turned into a day where the adrenaline just powered me through and probably a lot of you as well. I have friends who work daytime hours and many of them who get up early and were tweeting or were letting me know there's no way they were going to make it all the way through the final buzzers, which would have been the victories for Florida and Michigan, games that ended not that long ago. So amazing day of basketball, complete with overtime, a buzzer beater, a game-winning layup, a career-high performance for a guy that maybe should be getting more attention around the country, several blue bloods who just jammed home a major statement to start, but a couple of the seeds that were popular picks who struggled and needed some late game power moves, power plays even. I think that's what stood out to me about some of these teams that were on the ropes that you thought, uh-oh. The difference for a Kentucky, the difference for a Gonzaga, experience on the big stage, and I don't necessarily mean NCAA tournament stage because for a lot of the Kentucky players, they haven't been there before, but being in a power conference at a blue blood means that you have a lot of attention, a lot of TV appearances, games in your non-conference and conference schedules in front of crazy, raucous, hostile fans, and games that go down to the wire. So it's not necessarily foreign to you. Just a really awesome mix on the Thursday of the NCAA tournament. Because I love you, I will not ask you how your bracket looks. I'm reserving that for producer Tom. I thought he was joking when he said he picked Arizona to go all the way. He wasn't. But the good news is he wasn't alone, because I bet there are a lot of other people that picked the same exact thing. It's kind of hard to know where to start even. But just to set the land, we had the lay of the land. To set the stage and to give you the lay of the land, you know me. Me and my jumbled cliches, and then the idea that I only had 3 hours of sleep before watching basketball all day. You're just going to have to cut me some slack, okay? My excitement, my enthusiasm will carry us. All of the great sporting events and the awesome finishes today will carry us. But there may be a time or two when I say something dumb. So, you know, just deal with it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What was your favorite moment? What was your favorite moment from this first day of the NCAA tournament? There are a lot to choose from. So you can find me on Twitter or weigh in on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We will have a college basketball guest joining us in 15 minutes. Excited to talk to Gary Parrish. We haven't had him on the show this basketball season, He's fresh off the CBS Sports Network desk. In fact, CBS Sports Network is now replaying the very first game on Thursday, which was Rhode Island and Oklahoma, that went into overtime and featured the freshman Trae Young, who will depart for the NBA. So the Sooners just had him for 1 year, and certainly a disappointing finish. That will be the end of it. Trae Young is moving on to the lottery. But that's the game that's on CBS Sports Network. They just tipped it off to give you the replay. So Gary Parrish, who's a CBS insider, finished up his work on TV and will join us in 15 minutes. We'll get to pick his brain a little bit after his hours spent on the TV set covering all things college hoops. Also, in addition to college basketball, we had a couple of big NBA storylines. We won't spend a ton of time on the NBA. The association will get its weeks, months in the sun. I had a friend say to me on Twitter today, shouldn't you be taking a nap? This was, later in the day. Shouldn't you be taking a nap so you can survive all night long? And I said, I mean, I can't talk about games I didn't see. So no, this time of the year, there's no taking naps. And then he said, okay, well, next week, maybe, or next month, he said, maybe. And I was like, nope, that's when the NBA and NHL playoffs start. So not next month either.
No days off.
Thank you, Bill Belichick. At least someone understands me and know how this goes. So a couple of NBA storylines, but also big day in the NFL again on Thursday. Why? Because both Kirk Cousins and Alex Smith were introduced. Some really neat pictures with their wives and their families in their new places of employment. Obviously for Kirk Cousins being introduced in Minneapolis, surrounded by purple. And then for Alex Smith, he and his wife, really neat gesture by them. They stood and shook the hands of every single Redskins employee who came by to speak to them. And I guess there was a busload of employees who work at FedEx Field who came to speak to Alex and his wife and just to welcome them to town. And so kind of neat storylines for those two guys, veterans in the NFL who now get fresh starts and a whole lot of money. And then a couple of other interesting free agency narratives too. So we have a lot to jam into our final 4 hours of the work week. It is Facepalm Friday as well. So use the hashtag Facepalm Friday and you can give me, if you have Facepalm Friday moments from the NCAA tournament, you can do that as well. All right. So again, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Why don't we start with, I think, my favorite moment of the tournament on Thursday. You know, we talk about this all the time, right? The shining moments, those jaw droppers, what you live for, the mid-majors delivering the knockout blow to a Power 5 school. But when you see it, even if you desire it, if you hope for it, if you pray for it, if you're thinking, oh, it might happen here, it's always just magical when you see it.
Here comes Loyola, a chance to win it. Towns into the front court. On the left wing, top to Ingram, 3 for the win. Good! He made it! He made it as the buzzer expires. The Loyola players storm off their bench. They're mobbing their teammate. What a shot to win it! 64-62 Loyola. And the Ramblers will move on.
It's just so perfect that they're called the Ramblers. But congratulations to Loyola Chicago, a buzzer beater from Dante Ingram. And this was an amazing moment, just a perfect sequence for the Ramblers because Miami is up 62-61. Misses a free throw with 9 seconds left in the game, but still ahead, 62-61. Have an opportunity to make 2 free throws, misses the front end of a 1-1. Man, that hurts. Miss free throws this time of the year, they are killers. They will come back to bite you. Meanwhile, the Ramblers get the rebound. A guard gets the rebound. They outlet the ball quickly. Marcus Towns then pushes it up the court. He draws the defense. He hears his teammate yelling at him. In fact, they talked about this afterwards. I don't know how they could hear one another in that din, but apparently Ingram was loud enough that Marcus could hear him yelling, Towns! And so he finds Dante Ingram, passes him the ball, felt like the shot came from the parking lot. True. Down the hatch for what was, I don't want to say, it was a buzzer beater. It came with 3/10 of a second left on the clock, but we didn't get to hear the buzzer. So not a true buzzer beater, I guess. But couldn't take anything away from the Ramblers in that moment. Ryan Radke with the call on the Westwood One Radio Network. If you haven't seen the snapshot of Jim Larrañaga, and he's the head coach of Miami, and the guys behind him on the bench and even in the stands, so his support staff, oh my gosh, it's classic. You know, every year we get crying kids and people take either gifts of them or they just, you know, they tweet the picture and it goes viral. Well, it was that kind of a moment. Jim Larrañaga with his hands on his head and a guy standing behind him with his face buried in his hands after Dante Ingram hits that shot. So you've got thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. But for the Ramblers, this is an amazing piece of history. Not sure if you know it. If you follow me on Twitter, you might know it, because I was talking about it earlier on Twitter. The Ramblers were the 1963 NCAA men's basketball champs. It wasn't called the NCAA tournament then. It was something else. But it was Division I. And in 1963, when there was a limit on the number of African-American players you were allowed to have in your starting lineup, the Ramblers broke with convention. They broke the rules. They won the championship in 63. There's history there, of course, far more significant than the basketball. And they still remain the only team from the state of Illinois to ever win a men's basketball national title. And of course, when I tweeted that, I had to include the hashtag nerd alert. So here is Loyola of Chicago. Hasn't been in the tournament or won a game on this NCAA stage since 1985, 33 years. But going back another two decades before that, they were college basketball's champion and a school that was a pioneer. So congratulations, really neat. And of course, as we talk about Dante Ingram and all the rest of us who grew up playing basketball, this is the stuff that dreams are made of.
I've been saying all, you know, last week when people have been asking me, how does it feel to get to the tournament? And I've been saying, you know, this is, you know, as a kid, you know, this is what you grow up seeing, you know, hoping that you can be in that moment. So, you know, for me to be in this position with these guys, with this coaching staff, you know, I wouldn't want any other way. And I'm just obviously blessed to hit that shot. And I'm happy we can get on to advance to Tennessee.
There's no quitting these guys. They believe, they share the ball. We had 19 assists. And a great example is that last pass to Dante with Marcus to find it. And they made big shots. You know, Clay made a big shot on an action we run in the corner. You know, very, very blessed that we have kids that do not quit, that are resilient.
Loyola head coach Porter Moser there with the post game. And then before that, Dante Ingram. Also, this is a Jesuit university. So in Chicago, there is a nun who serves as their chaplain. You probably saw her story a little bit today if you were watching any of the college basketball coverage, because she's 98 years old, Sister Jean Schmidt, and she serves as their chaplain. So she was there. In fact, she still scouts and helps to break down film. She was there in 1963. She was also there in 1985. She's been a staple and a fixture, and they love her. And she was interviewed because she not only is the chaplain, but she speaks to the team. She was interviewed on True TV as part of the Loyola Chicago broadcast.
Oh, thank God. Thank God you did it, because we knew we would do it. And when we were in the locker room ahead of the game, we just knew that we would do this. Our team is so great, and they don't care who makes the points as long as we win the game. And I said, we want to win the big, get the big W up there, and we did.
She went on to say, I told God we would do our part if he would do his. How great is that? A 98-year-old nun who serves as the team chaplain and scout is making a deal with God.
God is amazing.
They certainly believe so in Loyola Chicago. How awesome is that story? My grandmother's a couple weeks away from being 96. I cannot imagine her serving as a team's chaplain. But this sister, this nun, has got her stuff together. It's awesome. So cute. It's like, was it Millie who was the 99-year-old Minnesota Vikings fan that if they'd got to the Super Bowl, she was going to go with them. Millie was her name, I think. And she became an instant urban legend. That was her name, Millie? Awesome. Yeah, so she got all kinds of airtime that weekend, and Roger Goodell went to talk to her and everything else. So this is the Millie of the NCAA tournament, Sister Jean Schmidt, the 98-year-old nun who was the chaplain for Loyola Chicago and who made a deal with God. I love it. Awesome buzzer beater, one of the great moments from Thursday in the big dance. But what's your favorite moment, or the moment that just made you do a facepalm? Because you know it is Facepalm Friday, so you can use that hashtag. Find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Coming up, we're going to spend a couple of minutes with Gary Parrish, just done with his CBS Sports Network responsibilities. And we'll ask him the same question about the surprises and the moments where the players, they rose to the occasion. You love that about tournaments as well. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're just getting started. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Forecourt right, Jordan, the dribble handoff. Left of the circle, Trey for Buffalo is good. Another one for C.J. Massenburg. His fourth triple of this game, 52-48, Buffalo, 15:50 to go.
Jordan drive and kick, three for Perkins is flat, but good. He hit the front of the rim. It bounced off the top of the backboard, and everything's coming up Buffalo. 75-58 the Bulls.
Who would have thought Buffalo would play keep away from Arizona? Jump feed left wing.
Three for Perkins is cash. What a capper for the Bulls. 86-64, 1:48 to go. Tomorrow morning, for the first time in NCAA tournament history, all of America will be talking about the Buffalo Bulls, their first ever NCAA tournament win, 89-68, in a mammoth upset against Arizona.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Did you know that 13 is the new 12? No, everyone points to the 12-5 upsets. No, 13 is the new 12. Congratulations to the Buffalo Bulls. You know, the Bills snapped the longest playoff drought in pro sports to get to the NFL postseason. And now the Bulls win their first ever NCAA tournament game, 89-68. Great calls there from Jason Benetti on Westwood One. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'm not going to ask you how your bracket looks, but if you need to facepalm Friday me, you can do that with your bracket. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. But we're going to spend a couple of minutes with CBS College Basketball Insider Gary Parrish, who's all over the CBS family of networks this week and is just off the CBS Sports Network set. Gary, let's start with your biggest surprise after this first full day of the tournament.
Got to be Arizona going down the way it went down. I mean, it's one thing to lose, even though you don't expect Arizona, a Pac-12 regular season champion, a Pac-12 tournament champion, with the likely number one overall pick in the NBA draft on its roster, to go down in the first round as a, you know, when it's a four seed in this NCAA tournament. But to lose the way it lost, to just get run completely off the court, you know, to lose by 21 points to a Buffalo team that's good but shouldn't be able to do that to Arizona or any other Power 5 school that's in this NCAA tournament, totally shocking. I thought Arizona had a chance to go to a Sweet 16, maybe even a Final Four if they could get past Virginia. And instead, this incredibly talented roster with at least three future NBA players on it, including DeAndre Ayton, it's done. And the Pac-12's done on March 15th. No more Pac-12 teams are still playing in the NCAA tournament.
What did Sean Miller have to say?
Well, afterward, you know, we ran the press conference live on CBS Sports Network, and you know, he sounded about the way you would sound when you've got perhaps a once-in-a-lifetime roster that obviously doesn't live up to expectations, and he seemed like a guy that's been beaten down a little bit. You know, it's been a hard season for a variety of reasons. One of his best friends and his longtime assistant, Book Richardson, obviously caught up in the FBI investigation, now facing federal prison. Sean, of course, was implicated in a pay-for-play scheme by an ESPN report. And though it does seem now like that ESPN report was wrong in a variety of ways, we still know that Sean Miller was caught on a wiretap talking to Christian Dawkins, and perhaps that wiretap will someday prove that he said nothing inappropriate or is that anything that could jeopardize his job, but we don't know. That FBI investigation is ongoing, and so I think the future of Arizona basketball is very much up in the air, because even if Sean was able to survive, at least immediately, that ESPN story that suggested he was in a pay-for-play scheme involving DeAndre Ayton, the truth is it cost them a high-level recruit. Their recruiting class has been blown up by this cloud that's hovering, and they're losing DeAndre Ayton. They're losing Raleigh Hawkins. They're losing Alonzo Trier. They've got no recruiting class. Arizona's going to be bad next season, and Sean Miller's future, I think it's still reasonable to suggest, is very much up in the air. And given everything that I just said, Sean Miller looked like a guy who's dealing with all of that stuff. He looked like he'd been beat down and was in a little bit of a state of shock about how abruptly this season ended.
I know this is a yes or no question, which is a no-no in our business, but if you are the Arizona Athletic Department, do you keep him?
It would depend on what I know. If I genuinely think that, okay, he was running a program that, yeah, had an assistant coach who was operating outside of the NCAA rule book, but he was unaware and he wasn't involved, then yes, I keep him. But if I think that this is going to be something that eventually blows up on us, and in the meantime, we can't escape the cloud of it, so it's going to hamper any sort of recruiting efforts, then I absolutely consider making a change. I think a lot of there's uncertainty at Auburn right now for the same reasons. Uncertainty at USC right now for the same reasons. Any school that has been publicly attached to this FBI investigation, the athletic directors and the presidents, they're in a weird spot. We've never experienced something like this in the sport of college basketball, where the feds have document on top of document on top of document, and yet we haven't been able to see all of it yet. There's stuff that's going to come out if these cases go to trial that are going to cost more people their jobs, I'm certain. And so I tell you, it's not a good situation for the folks at Arizona or for anywhere else where this thing is still lingering. Simply put, to answer your question, I don't know if I would keep him. It would depend on what I knew as the person in charge of making that decision.
College basketball insider Gary Parrish, fresh off the CBS Sports Network, said he'll be there every night this week as the tournament goes from 64 down to 16 in just 4 days. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We had a bunch of the blue bloods, the higher seeds, get pushed to the limit, so challenged down the end, unlike Arizona. Which of those closing performances from the teams that survived impressed you the most?
I guess I would go with Gonzaga, as long as we're willing to call Gonzaga a national brand. I know they're not a traditional blue blood, but they have been one of the biggest brands in college basketball for the West Coast Conference for the past 20 years. And so, obviously, they played for the national championship last season, and they were on the ropes this season. They were in a two-possession game, few minutes left. It looked like Greensboro was going to upset them. And then Gonzaga, bam, makes a shot. Bam, makes a shot. Creates a turnover, and they were able to pull away and win that 68-64. But there was a moment this afternoon where I thought Gonzaga was about to tap out of this NCAA tournament. And instead, they got by. They advanced. And I know they didn't look good. They didn't play their best, but you talk to enough college basketball coaches, they'll tell you any lengthy NCAA tournament run outside of the ones done by teams that are just completely overwhelming. 2005 or 2009 North Carolina comes to mind. 2012 Kentucky comes to mind. You're going to have one of these. You're not going to get a college basketball team playing against other good college basketball teams and playing well three times in a row, four times in a row, five times in a row, six times in a row. You got to be able to win one when you don't have your best stuff. Gonzaga didn't have its best stuff in the opening round, but they still got best UNC Greensboro. And now they've got 31 wins on the season and an opportunity to go back to the Sweet 16, if nothing else.
Absolutely. Got to ask you about the most impressive individual performance. Want to talk about some coaching performances as well. We're not done with you, Gary, but I know it's all fresh in your mind. Off the CBS Sports Network desk, joining us here for a few minutes. Hang on, we have to get to our update, and then right back to Gary Parrish, our college basketball insider. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Poirier. Baseball pass down the floor to Trent. Set up for three.
Open.
Yeah, he'll take it and hit it.
Don't leave him open.
Drilled it right in front of the Duke bench for another 25-point lead for the Blue Devils.
Hello, friends. Jim Nantz of CBS Sports. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Duke ended up with a smooth ride into the second round over Iona, a 2-15 matchup, as you hear with Scott Graham on the Westwood One Radio Network. Villanova manhandled Radford, so for Radford, it was one NCAA victory and done, but at least they finally got their first win in the big dance in their program history. And also, Kansas, after going back and forth with Penn for a while as a one seed, was able to pull away. But yeah, it was kind of neat to anticipate where would the upsets come from? Where would we get the craziness that would bust your bracket? And what we got is Loyola of Chicago, an 11 seed over Miami, a 6 seed. And then we also ended up seeing Buffalo, a 13 seed, topple Arizona. And the Pac-12 is actually out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Some of you sending me your favorite moments from the first day of the tournament. And fine, you can tell me if your bracket is completely covered in red. That's cool. We still have Gary Parrish, college basketball insider, hanging out with us, which is awesome. He took the time to wash off his makeup. And now we can talk a little more about what happened on Thursday. So, Gary, as you're watching all of these games, what stood out as the most incredible individual performance on Thursday?
I'll go with Rob Gray at Houston. I mean, he's somebody who's had a great season, but because it happened in the American Athletic Conference and happened at Houston, it doesn't resonate like a Marvin Bagley season in the ACC or a DeAndre Ayton season in the Pac-12 or Devontae Graham season in the Big 12, but he was fabulous. 39 points. That in and of itself is off the charts. But, you know, when the game's tied, I believe it's 62, he raises up, knocks down a three, gives Houston a 65-62 lead. Then game's tied at 65, handful of seconds left, he creates for himself. I mean, goes past three different defenders, up and under layup with 1 second left. So it's not only 39 points. It's 39 points with the last five, including the game-winning layup after creating something out of nothing. He was awesome. I think the star of the first day of the first Thursday of the NCAA tournament, and somebody who is absolutely good enough to help Houston, you know, maybe at least win one more game in this bracket.
A little bit of redemption for Kelvin Sampson after everything he's been through in college hoops. How about the coach most deserving of a raise after his performance on Thursday?
Maybe Porter Moser at Loyola Chicago, because, you know, he's got that. And sometimes it's not about coaching as much as it's just your guys make plays down the stretch. So, and that's clearly what happened at Loyola Chicago. You've seen it. Miami's at the line. Lonnie Walker, one-on-one situation. If he can make both of these, then Miami's up three. And worst-case scenario is a three-pointer sends you to overtime. But more likely, you're going to foul before they even shoot the three, so you're going to be in one of those foul up three situations where where Loyola Chicago has to, you know, make the first, intentionally miss the second. Statistically, it's an improbable series of events. Instead, Lonnie Walker misses the front end of that one and one, and Loyola Chicago takes off the other way, and it's almost like Miami was just shocked that the ball didn't drop in. They weren't ready. They didn't stop the ball, and then they end up, Loyola Chicago, with a clean look at the buzzer, knocks it down, and so the Missouri Valley Conference champs, you know, move into the round of 32, and a Miami team that, yeah, was operating without its best player, Bruce Brown, who was injured midseason, but still, when you are up with about 6-7 seconds to go, you're at the free throw line shooting a one-on-one. You're supposed to finish that game. Miami didn't finish that game, and what an awesome March moment. I mean, that's what this event gives us. These are the memories that people take away from this event every year, whether it's Bryce Drew at Valpo way back when or any other buzzer beater we've seen from a so-called mid-major. Loyola Chicago, they joined that list in that victory over Miami.
Gary Parrish, just off the CBS Sports Network set after a three-hour show covering everything college basketball today. And you can see him Friday, Saturday, Sunday as well. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The Kentucky group that handles the bulk of the work for John Calipari, he has noted over and over and over again, they're 18 and 19-year-olds. They're literally teenagers. How close do you think this group of teenagers is to putting it all together? Because there were moments where they're a little sloppy on Thursday.
I thought that they would struggle with Davidson and maybe get beat by Davidson. I actually picked Davidson to advance in my bracket because I thought Davidson had two players in Peyton Aldridge and Kellen Grady that were, you know, as good as anybody on Kentucky's roster, maybe not as pro prospects, but as good college players. And then Davidson, you talk to enough Atlantic 10 coaches, they'll tell you that's the toughest scout in their league because nobody plays like them. The ball movement, the execution. Davidson is terrific on the offensive end, top 20 in the country in offensive efficiency. When you're asking five freshmen to mostly chase them around, I wasn't surprised that we were in a tight game late. But Davidson couldn't make a shot down the stretch.
Yeah.
They had shots to tie. They had wide-open jumpers to take the lead. Even one from the corner hit the side of the backboard. Like, they just could not make that one shot.
They looked tired.
Yeah, they looked tired. And probably because they were playing against that level athlete at every position for the first time all year. That is what you see sometimes when a school like Davidson plays a school like Kentucky. You know, the Kentucky players are a little faster than anything they've seen, a little more athletic than anything they've seen, a little taller, a little bigger, a little stronger than anything they've seen, and it can show up, and I think it clearly did in that Kentucky-Davidson game. But Kentucky advances. Give them credit. They were able to handle a well-coached team and escape with a 78-73 victory. And now, look, they get to play Buffalo in the round of 32. It makes John Calipari sound a little sillier than he already sounded silly on Sunday night when he's complaining about Kentucky's past and suggesting there must be a conspiracy against Kentucky. Amy, you know as well as I do, there's no conspiracy about Kentucky in the NCAA tournament. My bosses, our bosses, we want Kentucky around as long as possible. Kentucky's good for television business. So the idea that there'd be a conspiracy to eliminate Kentucky early, that has never made any sense. But what it really reminds us of, what happened tonight, is these brackets come out, and I'm guilty of it as well, and you start looking at people's past. And you go, ooh, this team's got a tough path to the Final Four. Wow, I can't believe what Virginia path's going to be. And what we forget is that the path isn't always the path that we suspect it's going to be, and this is a perfect example. Man, Virginia's the number one overall seed, and they're going to have to play Arizona in the Sweet 16? No, they're not. Arizona's gone. Man, Kentucky, SEC tournament champions, preseason top five team, all that talent, they're going to have to play Arizona in the round of 32? Nope. They get to play Buffalo in the round of 32. And though Buffalo looked tremendous against Arizona, with all due respect, it's still a Buffalo team that's going to be an underdog to Kentucky. And so it looks like we're headed for Virginia-Kentucky in the Sweet 16. But just as quickly as I say that, you know, Virginia will get upset or Kentucky will get upset. You never know with this event.
All right, last thing, just a couple more seconds. What's a game that you're really looking forward to on Friday?
Well, I just hope the schedule gives us the type of moments that, you know, that Thursday schedule gave us. We had, you know, buzzer beaters. We had Trae Young in an overtime game. We had big, big upsets. And so as long as it provides those kinds of finishes, then count me in. But honestly, I want to see Michael Porter Jr. You know, he's a big name in college basketball, a projected top 5-6 pick, a guy who would have been in the conversation for number one overall if he'd have never been injured. He obviously came back for the first time in months and played in the SEC tournament, and he looked like a guy who hadn't played in months. But he's got another week of practices in now, and he tips at 9:50 p.m. Eastern on Friday night on TBS against Florida State, which has some NBA-caliber players. And so I know every scout in the NBA is going to be focused on that game, but I'd love nothing more than to see Michael Porter come out and put on a show and remind people that, yeah, Marvin Bagley has been awesome this season. DeAndre Ayton was awesome this season. But if not for injury, Michael Porter would have probably been right there with them. Talked about in the same breath when the conversation turns to the best freshman basketball players in the United States. Mm.
This time of year, you cannot throw a basketball without hitting Gary Parrish on a CBS set. So whether it's CBS Sports, CBS Sports Network, where you'll find him each night, CBS Sports HQ, or on Twitter at Gary Parrish CBS. I feel like I'm a company shill right here, Gare, but it's good to talk to you. Thank you so much for the enthusiasm and for the insight.
Amy, thanks for having me. Let's do it again.
We will. We shall. We have to, because we're just getting started with college hoops. What a day, huh? Had a little bit of everything. I just want you to know, any of you who picked Arizona to be your national champion, you are not alone, because Tom actually did it too. I thought he was just joking, but you weren't joking, were you? Did you finally fill out your bracket for the After Hours challenge this morning?
Yeah, you saw me do it. Well, I did it right here.
I did mine actually when I got home.
So I announced it
immediately. I went to bed at 10 a.m.
I didn't look at it again. And then I checked after the game. I was like, let me just make sure that happened and I don't have a blank bracket and it actually happened. And then sure enough, there it was. Arizona.
I thought you were just kidding.
I had Miami winning multiple games too.
I didn't think that actually.
Oh my gosh.
A lot of people picked Arizona, though. I don't feel that bad about it.
Okay, good.
You shake it off.
That's right. Klay Thompson, you shake it off. Actually, let's get a couple of tweets from people who are in the same boat as producer Tom. John says on Twitter, A-Law Radio, my facepalm Friday, I love that he uses the hashtag, is picking Arizona to go to the Final Four before seeing them get embarrassed by UB Men's Hoops Buffalo Bulls, not the Buffalo Bills. They don't make it easy for us. Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Bulls. I never imagined seeing this defeat with all the talent their roster had this season. So yes, John, you and producer Tom are in the same boat, and you're right. I would say the talent part of it, that's true. That's extreme. In fact, all five starters are likely departing for the NBA. This is a Kentucky kind of a situation where all these guys are leaving, although I think it's precipitated by the fact that they're not sure if Sean Miller will still be there moving forward. Plus, there could potentially be NCAA sanctions and discipline. And so their recruiting class is breaking up too. Everything Sean Miller built is starting to crumble, and Arizona may have to move on. So with that in mind, I wasn't extremely confident with Arizona. Plus, the Pac-12 did not have a good season. However, that starting five was extremely talented, is extremely talented. I'm not really sure. I guess we'll use was, because they have officially been buried from the tournament. And so you're not the only one. There are a lot of people who certainly picked them. I picked them to beat Buffalo, so I'm in the same boat with you there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. And you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Michael says, major embarrassment for Arizona. How can Sean Miller possibly survive this? Yeah, it depends. I mean, let's just say for the sake of argument that his contract does in fact pay him millions and millions of dollars if he's fired without cause or with cause or whatever the stipulations happen to be. Let's just say there is no FBI evidence. Remember the wiretap report that came from ESPN? Gary Parrish alluded to it a couple of times. It's had holes shot through it. And so we don't know exactly how accurate it is or if there's any evidence to support that Sean Miller was caught on a wiretap talking about paying a particular player. So without knowing what the FBI has on Miller, if anything, then Arizona's athletic department might be taking a stab in the dark if they try to fire him with cause. However, they just got bounced in the first round of the NCAA tournament with a team that was supposed to challenge for the Final Four, if not the national championship. So that might be the cause that Arizona needs. I know we have an affiliate in Tucson. If you're listening, I'd love to hear from you how you're reacting after this loss to the Buffalo Bulls. My tweet was 13 is the new 12. We all look for the 12s in the bracket for sure, but Buffalo being one of the great stories. We had a 13 and an 11 pull-off upsets on Thursday. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. With some great news, there's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, The Madness on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.